Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Want to listen to the full Burke Show every day, uninterrupted, with no ads? Become a bonus Burke Show subscriber. Find out more at theburkeshow.com/bonusbs.
The Burke Show.
All right, let's go around the room real quick and just give short descriptions of what our wildest spring breaks were, because... excuse me, Kaylee just came back from spring break, and spring break is very different when you're a parent with a couple of kids doing the same stuff you probably did when you were younger. It was so fun then, and now it's annoying now.
For me, it was my first one. It was quite a while ago, so I don't remember too much, but I was in Cancun. I remember falling asleep for the first time in a club. Knocked out. I was out. I remember getting lost because I got on the wrong bus than everybody else did. So I ended up having to like find my way back to where we were staying and almost got robbed by some locals. I remember a phone party and one of my friends being naked at the phone party. And yeah, other than that, it was blurry, but it was a good time.
Sounds about right.
Yep.
Sounds about right. Abby?
So mine was about 3 weeks ago. And my employer was like, hey, you want to go to Texas for your first week of work? And I was like, why not? And saw more boobs than I've ever seen in my entire life.
That was your first spring break? So when you were going to UF, you never went?
No, I did go on spring breaks at Florida, but they were definitely much tamer than that.
Okay.
My friends are really bougie, so anytime we wanted to go on spring break, I genuinely every year was like, we got to do one trashy spring break. We got to go to Cancun. We got to go to Miami. And every year they're like, don't you just like want to have brunch in Charleston? Like, what about Savannah? And so that's what I did mostly for spring break.
Okay.
Except one, which was like a cruise. I was 18. And it was more dramatic than it was crazy.
Much like now, back then I was just never good at saying no to anything. So, I mean, I could just spin a wheel and pick any one of the spring breaks. And any movie you've seen about spring break, I've lived the stereotype. Just the puking and the drinking and the drugs and the whole damn thing. Losing people, getting lost, waking up on a beach having no idea where you were or what happened the night before. It could be Hawaii. It could be Mexico. There are so many. Kaylee has experienced it a little bit differently. Now.
Yeah, we just got back from 30A, which is
Florida, right?
Yeah, Florida. Seaside, watercolor, all these little, like, I guess you call them towns, are they?
Or just if you've never been along the coast in Florida, it like the coastline there and the beaches are the most beautiful things you've ever seen. Just that. It's so stereotypically like a postcard, that really white sand and the beautiful blue water. And there's just beach town after beach town after beach town.
Yeah, and they're real close together.
And they're mostly family towns, though, that go on vacation.
Right, and see, when I used to go, we used to go to Panama City Beach, Club La Vila, Spinnaker's.
Gone there, right?
Yeah, I think that's gone.
There. Those are gone. Yeah.
Yeah, those clubs were just legendary. I mean, the stuff that went on there, if the walls could talk.
Thank God they can.
You know?
Thank God they can.
So, yeah, right? So, Seaside and all these other places are not far. It's like, you know, 20 miles or 15 miles. So I went down there with my family. We rented a VRBO, a badass house. It had its own pool. And the things I started to notice, though, you know, when you go out of like my house, like the streets were just packed with kids on bikes. So people riding their bikes and even like 15-year-old girls like riding golf carts down the road filled with people. Mm-hmm. And everyone had their own speakers and their own music. Sure. And they're listening to just gangster rap. And all these little white kids just they're like driving by N-word after N-word. I'm just like, they're not saying it, but it's the music they're listening to.
Good for you.
You know, yeah, good for them. And it's just crazy. So we go to Seaside, which is like this little downtown area where it's just really hip. And
it's like right out of a movie. Everything is so perfect there, right?
It's where the Truman Show with Jim Carrey was filmed.
These little white picket fence houses, and you know, it's just like lather, rinse, repeat on each and every street. It just looks really, really. Like it looks like it's right out of a movie. Really.
It really is. And so the little like square area, it's got this grass area, and there's all these stores. And so I'm walking with I got my clan and this other couple. So we have like, and I think the women are shopping. And so the men have all the kids and we're like just kind of hanging out. And so we walk in front of this store that has like a, I guess there's like a place you live, like they're renting out, like there's a residential spot up top.
Okay.
And these teenagers, so I guess you'd say it's the penthouse on top of the store, are like catcalling all these vulgar things, saying all these vulgar things to these young girls that are just all around us as we're walking. And I'm like, all right, that's kind of obnoxious because that's never really been my thing. I just screaming, hey, nice knockers to the girls. Like, that's just, I'm stretch. Like, come on, man.
I mean, it was gross back then, too, but that's so 1992.
Like, you just don't but it was worse than
generally
that.
See that anymore, right?
It was worse than that. I just, and I'm starting to get a little irritated because I got my 6-year-old daughter there, and my buddy has his kids. And then I start noticing, and I'm staring at him like an angry parent, kind of just like.
And keep in mind now, you're the old guy that when you were their age would laugh at.
Yeah. That was just never my thing. But then I start noticing these kids are like spitting off of the balcony. And
they're only two stories up.
Yeah, it's the one. Yeah, they're just spitting on the people walking by.
I've seen this. It's like a thing that the youth is doing now, like spitting on each other. They have like spitting competitions.
Well, not spitting on each other. They're spitting on the people, the customers.
Oh, come on, man. Like, that's not even
spitting. Below. They're not just, if they were just spitting on each other up there, I'd be like, oh, this is interesting. You know? But they're actually spitting on people walking below.
That's actually a felony in Florida.
Yeah,
if you throw something off a balcony. Mm-hmm. So we should call the police.
Well, that's where I'm getting at. So I'm getting irritated because they're not spitting on me, but no one's like paying attention. And, you know, so I'm like, I see a sheriff like on the side of the building behind the building. Mm-hmm. So I was like, all right, I'm going to try to go take care of this. And as I walk up to the sheriff, he's got his, I don't know if you know what an asp baton is. It's like a baton. But they sling it out, and it comes, and a big pole comes out.
It's called a what?
It's called an ASP.
It extends.
It's a baton. Okay. Yeah.
Like a lightsaber?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, but I mean, you could wreck someone's world with it.
Are those the things that like go down really small to the size of like a film canister?
No, it's about. I guess it's about, I don't know, 8 inches, but it can extend.
And it pops out.
Yeah, they just sling it out.
I think I've had one used on me, but in a different situation, and a safe word came with it.
Yeah, I don't know how this would be fun in any. So I walk up, and I walk up to the sheriff, and he is actually letting the valet kids play with it. I interrupted something, and I was like, "Excuse me, officer."
Here, and if you're not getting enough joy out of this, take my gun. Yeah. Hey, try the taser, you guys. This is really great fun.
So I walked
Here's
up.
Some mace.
Yeah.
Well, actually, you guys will have a blast with this for hours.
I walked up to him after seeing what was going on. I said, "Hey, how would you like to use that baton?" To the sheriff, and he goes, "Oh my God, I would love to."
He's been waiting.
Oh my God, he's like, show me, point me in the direction.
You never get to use this in Seaside.
Right. Like, he is waiting to just unload on somebody. And so I explained to him what's happening. And we kind of walk up to the front of the building. And, you know, he's looking. And as soon as the guys up there see the cop, they all of a sudden retreat back out of sight.
I bet.
And so it turned into this thing. I don't know if he ended up going up there, but the cop ended up looking for me. Because I'm watching it all go down. And so the kids watched the cop walk over to me.
Uh-huh.
So he's like, all right, they didn't spit on you, right? I'm like, no, but they were spitting on that lady right over there. And so I think he went and handled it. But I was just, I didn't want to tell on anybody.
But that's not even like spring break behavior right there. I mean, that's so
like she, like Abby just said, it's like a felon. I mean, that's illegal.
In Florida, it's pretty serious. But this is just so funny because Seaside is such like a squeaky clean town that the fact that this is the one piece of crime this guy probably had to deal with, it's just so funny to me.
Oh, he was so excited. When I said, do you want to use that baton? The joy that came over his face. I've been waiting for this all my life.
He's wiping the dust off it. Like, I've had this for 10 years. I've never needed to use it.
100%, man.
The Burt Show.
All right, so what do you have going on in your life you want to share with Burt Show? You got some drama? Go ahead, hit us up at theburtshow.com. In this email here that Abby's going to read, her ex-boyfriend texts her, but she didn't go off on the guy. So because of this, her current boyfriend was really upset, and now there's all sorts of tension because he doesn't feel she handled it like with enough like aggression, like totally blowing the guy off. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I gotcha. So it says, hi, Burt Show. I'm a huge fan from Canada and love you guys. We love you too. I need some advice to know if I'm in the wrong or what I did was justified. I have a son with my ex and we broke up almost 4 years ago. Things were super toxic at the end of our relationship and for quite a while after. He's pretty arrogant and has some anger issues. Anyways, I was just recently dating this guy for about 8 months. Things have been a bit rocky for the last two, but what really made it bad was I got a text from my ex from a couple weeks ago asking me if I was still with my boyfriend, and if not, if I wanted to sleep with him. Of course, my boyfriend was lying beside me when I opened the text, so he saw it. My boyfriend got really upset, which is understandable, and he basically wanted me to ream my ex out hardcore over it. I told my boyfriend I would not ream him out due to how mentally abusive and wild he can become. So instead, I treaded lightly and expressed that it was an inappropriate text and that I have a boyfriend, to which he responded the next day that he was sorry and he was just drunk. Well, ever since then, my boyfriend has been really upset and keeps saying he wants to message my ex and get mad about it. I keep saying, no, don't. It's just going to cause issues and drama. Fast forward to this week, I ended up having surgery, and instead of being supportive and there for me, my boyfriend fought with me the whole time I was in pain and recovering over the fact that my ex texted me and I was quote unquote protecting my ex and not our relationship by not freaking out at him. He's so obsessed and upset with him that we've now broken up. Quite honestly, I'm pretty hurt he did what he did while I was just fresh out of surgery. I almost don't care we broke up, but I'm just wondering, am I in the wrong for trying to save my mental health and my co-parenting with this guy, or should I have saved my relationship? Thanks so much.
So when my now fiance and I first started going out, I'm not exactly sure the timeline on it, but it was long enough to where we were serious. So let's just say 7-8 months, right? We were at a party. And Tiffany, my fiance, was like eating a hot dog or something. She spilt a whole bunch of mustard on her leg. It was kind of a funny thing. So she, on her Instagram story, posted like her leg having all this mustard on. There was nothing sexual about it at all. It was just my fiance being, at the time, girlfriend, being clumsy. And one of the first DMs that came in was from an ex-boyfriend of hers that just said something to the effect of, I like mustard.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Oh, ooh. Right?
No. Yeah. Right. No.
Okay. Where you at so I can catch up?
Thank you.
Catch up.
Yeah, here it
catch
is.
Catch up.
I'm going to relish this moment for just a second.
It is. Yeah. A party.
Wow. Wow.
We should just end the show right now.
Yeah.
It doesn't get any better than this. But we had the same kind of tension. Like, I'm like, you know, I don't think she responded to it at all. There was no like, hey, I have a boyfriend now or anything. And when we circled back on it, I wasn't nearly as mad as this guy, but it was bothering me. It was bugging me that she didn't shut it down, that it just stayed there sort of open-ended. And I think to a guy that's thirsty like that, if you don't shut it down, it goes from being mustard to something much more graphic later. So I was a little upset about it, to be honest with you. And we talked about it. And she said, look, I could tell you right now, if I respond back to it, it's just going to be his window, and he's going to have a green light. He's going to think he has a green light to continue to hit me back. Even if I try to put up a boundary, it's not going to work. And she knows this dude better than I did, and we had were first going out, so I was really trying to be on my very best behavior and said I understood, and I did. She knows him better than I do, and let it go. But I was in the same situation. I was a little upset about it. Like, sometimes I do think you got to, like, take the newspaper to the puppy and hit him on the nose with it, you know?
This took me some years to learn, because younger me would have felt the exact same way. And I probably would have wanted to respond myself if I didn't feel like her response was clear enough that is no chance. But older me has really realized that this is one of the times I actually think toxic masculinity applies. This, you replying is not going to do anything. It's, if anything, it's going to give him some type of satisfaction in knowing that he got to you.
Yes.
So I have learned in situations like these, it's better to just either do nothing or to just lightly let him know, like, nobody's even worried about you, bro.
You been in this spot too?
Yeah. Me, my friends, everybody. I was just on a phone call with one of my close friends who was literally in this exact same situation. Her ex Snapchatted her, and she just ignored it. And the guy that she's dating looked over and was like, "Well, who's that? What's going on?" And he got super jealous. Mm. So I'm on the same page as Tiffany, where it's like, if you respond, they think that's an invitation. They don't think that that's basically the best thing you can do to shut them down. What I have an issue with here in this letter is that the boyfriend is asking her to exhibit the same kind of behavior that he would do to somebody else. Like, you should get angry. You should overreact, essentially. And so I think that just proves the fact that this guy is super, super toxic.
Yeah, let it go.
Let it go.
Let it go. You did the right thing. And then, you know, the icing on the cake really was him not being there for you when you really needed him the most. I mean, we have forgotten to talk about that, but that's major.
That's a big red flag.
Case in point.
The Burt Show.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
So you know how a couple of days ago we were talking about asking your parents that awkward question about what happened 9 months before I was born? Well, there's actually one benefit to keeping that stuff on record.
This is your conception day? Is that what you're saying?
Yes. I'm just now an advocate for everybody knowing their conception day.
Yeah, we actually called Mo's mom live and found out.
Woke her up.
For that.
To find out this information.
But Mo, now you're never going to have to worry about if one of your friends is actually your brother. So Matthew McConaughey says he had a conversation with his mom that led him to believe that one of his buddies, Woody Harrelson, might actually be his brother.
We're sitting around talking about how close we are and our families and et cetera. My mom is there.
Yeah.
She says, "Woody, I knew your dad." Oh, well, we went on to unpack this, did some math and found out that his dad was on furlough at the same time that my mom and dad were in their second divorce. Then there's possible receipts to where there might have been a gathering. Or a meeting.
A very, very special type of meeting, apparently. But now that he says that, I've kind of looked at Matthew and Woody side by side. They both kind of have like that, they look like they don't shower type of vibe to where I'm like, oh my gosh, they could have the same genes.
Matthew McConaughey would be the son that you're proud of. And Woody Harrelson.
You ain't proud of Woody, huh?
He's like his evil twin.
Okay. The second-tier son.
Yep.
Yeah.
I know some people that have used and are starting to use 23andMe now because they have a hunch that their mom wasn't honest with them on who their father is. So rather than go through pops or rather than go through mom, they are using 23andMe and seeing who their relatives are just to track them down to see if their hunch is right and their dad, the person that raised them, isn't really their dad.
Wow.
That's crazy. That's like some Mamma Mia stuff.
I don't think I would want to know if I was in that situation.
At this point, right?
Yeah, no.
Not at that point.
Tommy?
I just had a thought. We should all do those DNA tests because I've had one forever and haven't even gotten it out of the box. We should all do it and see if any of us are related.
Ooh.
If there were two members of the Burt Show that were related, who would be most apt to be related on
me
the show?
Me and Mo.
Clearly. Why did I even ask the question?
I wasn't ready.
Yeah, there are sometimes that Mo walks in here and out of the corner of my eye, I think it's you, Cassie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just picturing Mo with red hair.
I'd probably pull it off.
Who would be like the two Burt Show members that would be most apt to be related on this show?
Mo and Katie.
Me and Katie. That's probably the easy one.
Yeah. Or Abby and Kristen.
Yeah, I can see that too.
Most people in the Facebook comments have already predicted that.
Oh, have they already
ordered our 23andMe test. They're like, we need to know for sure. She got here because she's Kristen's sister.
Oh, that's it. That's what it is. Makes sense now.
Okay, I have some really dramatic news for all the Harry Styles fans out there. Harry Styles and Olivia Wilde, they were spotted out at the same gym together. Here's the kicker. They were both leaving it 30 minutes apart. So it's like they were there at the same time, but they strategically planned out their leaving.
I have been in this situation before. The gym was a fertile ground for dating for me right after I got divorced. And that's a really bad idea. It's a really, really stupid idea. Because when you end up like breaking up with the person, you guys are in your same routines. So you're generally working out at the same time. And you don't want to like leave your home gym. I don't mean like the one in your base. I mean the one that's down the street from you. That's convenient. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure she knew I was working out at a certain time and I knew she was working out at a certain time because not working out was not an option. So, yeah, you go at different times. You know, you're not going to see them.
That makes sense. I never thought about it like that. But, yeah, that would make me change my time entirely
to
not see that person anymore.
For sure.
I know. There's a guy who goes to – all the hot guys go to the Monday 4:30 class at Orange Theory. And there's this one guy who's always on the rower next to me. And because I'm delusional, I always think, oh, he's picking the rower next to me.
Of course he is. Yeah.
No, he is. So?
And I thought about saying something last week, but then I'm like, shoot, I really like this class. This is really convenient. I don't want to screw this up.
I would almost put like dating out of the gym right up there with dating people from work, man. Because when it doesn't work out, you are stuck seeing them each and every day. And it doesn't matter if they're on the other side of the gym.
Gym's not big enough.
You know where they are at all times.
Yeah, I go to a really small Orange Theory. And every time I'll be on the rower, I'll be like... Anyway, Post Malone's kind of
rowing in your own tears.
Yes.
I'm fueling. You know how they have like the water tanks? It's just my tears. In your next entertainment buzz. So, Meghan Markle, she's not going to be attending King Charles's coronation. I'm going to tell you why she's staying in the States if it's not already obvious. In your next entertainment buzz on The Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
No good deed goes unpunished. I hate that saying. I hate it. It's the worst, right? You're trying to do something nice for somebody and it goes horribly wrong on you. But it's the case way too often. It's happening to Katie right now, which we'll get into in just 1 second. Katie, before we even start that, Abby mentioned something yesterday that I am feeling the same way as Abby is about.
Okay.
Abby and I don't trust you anymore.
Trust me?
Yeah, we don't trust you no more.
You don't
feel a little nervous around you.
Uh-huh.
What did I do?
So I was listening to most podcasts in the moment, streaming everywhere on all platforms.
Thank you very much.
It sounds so much better when you guys plug the other person's
Yo,
podcast.
She did that way better than I ever did.
Way less selling.
I've got my merch order on the way. Don't worry.
I appreciate you.
So I was listening to most podcasts because the fun thing about this job is that you can kind of get to know your coworkers outside of work hours, so I can be in my car, I can be getting intel.
Can be eavesdropping on somebody else's podcast, for sure.
Yep.
It's a lot of fun. So I was listening to the episode with you, obviously Katie and Bert, and there was a moment where I wanted to take back something I said to my mom. I was home with my mom, and I was talking about genuinely, like, this sounds fake, but I'm like, everyone here is so great. Like, everyone has been so welcoming and nice and wonderful. And I was like, Mom, you would really like this girl, Katie. We went out. We did karaoke. She was such a blast. We sang some Beyonce together. And then I'm on my way home, and I'm listening to In the Moment. And Katie says, you know, I just love to make people feel comfortable around me. Because then they let their guard down and you get to see who they really are. And then it made me question everything that I've ever said around Katie. I'm like, what did I say?
And as you said it in the podcast, I had the fleeting thought also, like, has she just been BSing me all these years?
Does Katie really like me?
She's a little too happy. I'm always saying that. She's a little too happy.
Didn't you say yesterday, you say to her, like, there's nobody that's that happy, Katie?
Nobody. Nobody is that happy 100% of the time. It got to be some fakeness in there, Katie.
Now, you know I'm not happy 100% of the time.
When you're around people, you are.
Well, I have to be. That's being cordial. Like, I wouldn't express, like, how I'm truly feeling on the inside if I'm going through something. I wouldn't express that to anyone else, especially in a workplace. You don't bring your, like, at-home downness in the workplace. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You don't do that.
She's got an answer for everything.
She does.
So if you were giving us, like, the playbook for a second, because we all real, Abby said it. I mean, we genuinely feel like you like us, you enjoy being around
us.
But
like
now
y'all.
We're not sure. But for those that you have been fake with,
uh-huh.
Is there one way to tell when you're not being authentic that you're BSing your way through this friendship just so their guard comes down?
Is there like a telltale sign? Let's see.
She knows. She's just trying to figure out how much of it she's going to actually share
See,
with y'all.
Now nobody trusts her.
Uh-huh.
Everything you say is a lie now.
If I'm staring at their mouth, I won't make eye contact.
Really?
I won't make direct eye contact. I don't like direct eye contact. So if I make direct eye contact with you, that means something.
Okay. Oh, okay. All right. She's staring into my eyes right now. Okay.
I know.
Or maybe you're just saying that so my guard is off.
Will we ever know?
You
so
can
now,
trust me.
For the next 3 minutes while she tells us about this relationship story she's got here, all we're going to be doing is seeing like where your eyes are looking.
I'm going to do it for the rest of our lives now. That's always going to be on my mind.
All right, so you're trying to put this surprise party together for a friend, and it has ripped the friends apart.
So I'm in the middle of it because I have two friends. There was Tasha and Cynthia, as I said before, who were trying to do a surprise party for a friend of ours, right? So Tasha was the original one who started a group chat with everyone and said, hey, I would like to put out the surprise party. I think it would be great. And our friend deserves to have a surprise birthday party. And everyone was like, all right, cool. Well, Cynthia is also friends with this woman, and she's been friends with her since high school. And she's like, you know what? I know her better than any of you all. And she created her own separate group chat and wanted to be petty and was like, I want to plan a surprise party that's going to be way better than Tasha's surprise party, right?
Now we're getting all competitive about it.
Getting competitive, but it just seemed off because it seemed like Cynthia was just trying to win over her friend because her friend, their friendship is like on the rocks right now. It's kind of fading. And it's, so it seemed like a last chance grab that, no, if I plan the better surprise party, she'll stay my friend forever, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so we were all conflicted on what to do. Do we just merge the parties? Do we just help Cynthia out? What happened? Well, now I can reveal that Tasha is me and I am she.
Oh! She can't be trusted.
Ever! Is anything you say true?
Yes.
Is your name Katie?
Who are you?
Not today, it's Tasha. And I won the surprise party battle.
Wow.
You are good.
She is, right?
Man.
Never see it coming.
No.
So I started this group chat to surprise my best friend. I know she wanted a surprise party. And then her friend Cynthia is really been trying. So I was on FaceTime, and how things went downhill is I was on FaceTime my best friend with another best friend of ours, and we were just casually talking about Cynthia. And my best friend was just talking about, hey guys, I just had to figure out a way to tell her that this friendship isn't going to work. So in my head, I'm like, this is perfect. If she tells her before her birthday, she's, you know, she's no longer going to plan a mm-hmm. surprise party, and we don't have to worry about it. But in comes my best friend's roommate in the background, like, hey, y'all talking about Cynthia? And I'm like, please don't, because she's also in this group chat. She's like, I just want to let you know, Cynthia was trying to plan a surprise party for you. And she tells my best friend that Cynthia was trying to plan a birthday surprise party. Now, I didn't like this because it ruins the surprise, because we still want to surprise her, mm-hmm. and I didn't want to get her involved in what we had on the side, right. The side drama. But then my best friend's roommate tells her all the details and tells her why she doesn't like it. And so then that made things worse for my best friend and Cynthia. It was the last straw to be like, okay, I definitely have to cut off this friendship.
Mm-hmm.
And so she's ended that friendship with Cynthia.
So it's over.
Whoa. It's over.
It's over now.
Yeah. And she just was like, I just need to do this now because I don't want to keep stringing this friendship along. And then she thinks that she would want to be at the party and stuff like that. She's like, she doesn't want her at the surprise party. She's like, y'all do what you do. I'm going to act and forget that you even told me about the surprise party and just let it go.
Damn.
So it ended a friendship, but I won.
And you celebrate. Yes.
Tasha.
Yes.
Okay.
Wow.
Like, I know my best friend better.
How does it get that competitive so quickly, man?
Estrogen.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and
6'1" since that matters.
And what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble. With exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
The Burt Show.
You want the truth, ladies?
You can't handle the truth!
You want some real brutal relationship advice? There is some going around online that Mo caught up with, and I'm not exactly sure if it's great or not.
It's interesting. That's for sure. And it's actually was started by a lady named Lady Lion SA. And the point of this was she said she felt like whenever women ask men for relationship advice on dating men, what tends to happen is women tell the men that they're wrong.
Mansplaining.
Exactly. So hey. She's saying that instead of, she doesn't want to be one of the women who just comes on and just debates it. She wants to actually listen. So she started a thread where she wanted men to give brutal, honest relationship advice on what you should and should not do when dating men.
Oh, great. So
she only wanted answers from men.
Only want answers from men. All right, so we could do this a couple of different ways. We can have dudes call up with their own brutal relationship advice, or you can call up when you hear Mo's relationship advice that he got online. These are not his. This is not your advice.
Right.
And you could either confirm or deny it. Right?
Okay.
Okay?
Let's do it.
All right. 1-855-BURT-YA.
So the first one that a guy said was, the easiest way to get a man under your palm is to act and make him feel like a man. Not by arguing, nagging, and challenging him. There's ways to get a man obsessed with you, and it's as simple as being feminine. Women who know, understand the game, know exactly what I'm talking about.
Cassie's doing everything not to comment. Even though Mo said women are going to come, right? Yeah. All right, Cassie.
I love how me and Cassie have you cornered. Like, we're just like, what did you say?
It's
Mo?
Not even my advice. I'm just reading it.
All right, let's regurgitate this one again. Say it again.
All right. It says, the easiest way to get a man under your palm is to act and make him feel like a man. Not by arguing, nagging, and challenging him. There's ways to get a man so obsessed with you, and it's as simple as being feminine. Women who know and understand the game know exactly what I'm talking about.
I don't feel that way, quite honestly. I want her to be authentic with me. I'm not looking for a woman that's going to roll over, tell me what I want to hear. That would not work with me at all. Is that what I'm... Am I misinterpreting that?
No, because, I mean, the nagging and challenging part is kind of where he lost me. Like, I think that's just a natural part of a relationship. But I do think I understand what he's saying when nowadays a lot of women, I've listened to them speak, and it's as if being feminine is a bad thing. Like, that's kind of being phased out to where I think there are a lot of men who still want to feel masculine in their relationship.
Yeah, this goes both ways, because I feel like masculinity is being phased out also.
It is.
So I'm not sure where in the middle we're supposed to be, Abby.
So I get what he's trying to say here, because I don't think this is a completely wrong take, but I think women have a hard time feeling safe being feminine if the guy doesn't take the first step and act in a masculine way that's not toxic, if that makes sense.
That does make sense, which it's ironic because it kind of goes into what the next advice is for a guy when he's saying when you're choosing a man, when a man shows you who he is the first time, believe him. Like, forget potential. A lot of women go off potential. Take a whole man or no man at all. How he treats marginalized people is a good indicator of how he'll treat you. So stop settling. What you want does exist, and it should be God, you, then everyone else.
I couldn't agree more with that one.
That's a great piece of advice.
Yeah.
The first one's trash, but that one was great.
What did you not like about the first one?
Listen, so here's the thing. You know what? I take it back. If you want a man like that, that is a great piece of advice. But there are some women who think being feminine is bad. I think we're the pendulum swinging back. I think there was a little rejection of being feminine in order to sort of establish equality and we belong here. I think it is great to be feminine. I don't think everyone is feminine. Like, I'm not naturally super feminine. Someone like Kristen, I would say, is more feminine. Neither one of us is better than the other. It's just I'm not going to, like, adopt a personality that doesn't fit me. So that to me just reeks of I want you to be a little lady in the relationship more than anything. But I agree, like, you can't come on strong and, like, get into fights all the time with someone if you want to date them.
Yeah, I mean, one size does not fit all. I mean, I think that goes with each and every one of these, yeah.
Another one, which I've been saying this for years. Stop taking relationship advice from your single friends.
I don't know. We know what we're talking about because we're watching everybody. I'm taking notes.
I want to see you be successful first. And then I want to hear your advice.
I became like the greatest advisor to single people as soon as I got married. Right, let's do one more because I know you got a whole bunch of these, so we can do these in a couple parts.
Definitely.
But let's do one more right now.
All right. If he's not investing in you, your mental health, happiness, or pushing you to grow in both your business, he's not in love with you and he's not the one for you. Find someone else.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, these are great.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Right?
Okay. Yep.
But sometimes I feel like if a man, like that pushing word is off-putting to me. Like trying to support is one thing, but pushing your agenda on what you think she should be doing is a totally different thing.
It's a thin line for sure. I see what you're saying.
Right? Yeah, I get you. Like trying to force someone to go down a path or like kind of hesitant. You can only do so much. Like you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. Right. Mm-hmm. So you can be there if your girl or your man says they want to do something. You can be there to support them every step of the way. But once you start pushing, like, did you do this? Did you mm-hmm. make this appointment? Look, you know, once mm-hmm. you start taking the reins, then I think you're out of bounds.
All right, those are good. Those are really solid.
That's only a couple of them. There's plenty.
Yeah, we'll come back to more of those later.
No woman splaining here.
The Burt Show.
All right, so, you know, her husband has been trying to bribe her with this car. We read this email a couple of days ago, and it has everything to do with their daughter and her daughter wanting a car, but the father also wanting something out of the family relationship, so he's bribing her.
Yeah, this is a really rough situation. So they have this amazing daughter. She's done all the right things. She's about to turn 17, and the mom wants to get her a car. Why not reward her for all the hard work that she's done if we can afford it? And the husband is like, you know what? Well, I don't really want to get her a car, but hey, if you can give up smoking, then why not? We'll do it. So she goes 6 months without smoking, and then she takes a step back. She caves a little bit, and she doesn't know whether or not she should tell her husband. Is it the right thing? Should she hide it from him? So now we're going to find out what happened after she listened to our advice.
Cassie's got the email.
Honestly, things haven't gone too well, and I'm feeling pretty bummed out about it all. After debating things in my head, I had decided that I was going to quit smoking cold turkey again and just not tell my husband about my slip-up. I thought if I could keep it a secret and get back on track, everything would work out fine. But as they say, the best laid plans. My husband was doing some laundry. Unbeknownst to me, he tossed in some of my clothes as well, including the ones I'd worn when I smoked. I didn't even think about the smell that might be lingering on them.
Oh, wow.
When he confronted me about it, I tried to lie and say it must have been from being around someone else who was smoking. I knew he could tell I was lying, so I admitted to him that I had slipped up and started smoking again. But I begged him not to punish our daughter for my mistake and to still let us buy her the car she's been dreaming about. But he was adamant the deal was off.
Oh, man. No. You said this before. He never wanted to buy that car.
He never wanted to do it.
He knew she couldn't do it.
Exactly.
And now he's insisting that I be the one to break the news to her.
This dude.
Wow.
This dude.
Honestly, I don't think it's fair. I understand. I messed up. But our daughter shouldn't have to suffer because of my mistakes. She's been such a good kid and she deserves this car. I really want to go ahead and get her the car, even if my husband isn't on board. It will definitely cause some tension between us, but I can't bear the thought of letting our daughter down because of my own weakness. I feel like if I can just find a way to make it right for her, then I can deal with whatever fallout comes between me and my husband. I'm determined to quit smoking for good this time. No more slip-ups. Maybe if he sees that I'm serious about it, he'll eventually come around and understand why I felt like I needed to make this decision. Wish me luck, guys. I'm gonna need it.
Man, he is really looking at this like very black and white. But I think you guys nailed it in the beginning. Last time we were talking about this, she even said he didn't want to buy her the car, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I think he dangled something in front of her that he knew she'd fail at or was hoping she would fail at so he wouldn't have to buy the car. And this just proves your guys' theory.
That's exactly what I thought from the jump, and I still feel that way. But I think he's underestimating how this could backfire on him, because I know if I'm the kid and mom comes to me and says that dad was going to get you a car, but I had to stop for smoking for 6 months, and I went 6 months and I did it. I slipped up once, and now dad is saying he doesn't want to get you the car. I'm mad at dad.
Yeah.
I wouldn't even be mad at mom.
Right.
So this could backfire on him.
Yeah, I don't think he had any intention ever of actually getting her this car. And I'm really bothered by this whole situation because how do you even go to your child and be like, you know what? Your dad said you can get this car, but I messed up. That's displaying the fact that you're okay with that behavior in your relationship, in your marriage. And so I think you got to start with your husband, figure out something else, and then go to your kid.
I didn't mind the bribe at first. I think I even told you guys that. Like, look, this works out for everybody. This clearly is bothering him for her health, and maybe he just doesn't like the aesthetic. It doesn't smell right. Look, my ex-wife used to smoke all the time, and it used to drive me absolutely crazy, man. It's like, it was like my one thing, right? And as much as she tried to quit, she couldn't. But it just felt like it wasn't about even the smoking after a while. It was about like, hey, this is really important to me and you can't do this for me. So I was taking like, it became a much bigger, almost selfish, I think, take on my part. So it wasn't about the smoking at that point, but I couldn't even kiss her when she walked in the door. So maybe that's what he's going for here and really wanted, this was important to him. And the only thing that he could use as leverage was that car. So it felt like to me it was going to be a win-win-win all the way around, but it turned out not to be at all.
What's the next move? You say, all right, you failed that time, but if you can stop smoking now for the next 5 years, I will finally get out of this. She's going to be 30.
Yeah, at this point, I don't know that there's... if I was in this situation and I made this offer and she messed up, I would get the kid the car anyway. Mm-hmm. But since he was so adamant really about not wanting to get the car, he's not going to give her an inch.
Yeah, 6 months is a long time to go without smoking, and healing is not linear. So the husband's got to give her more grace, give her some more time, and get that girl the car.
Really at least get a car with three wheels, right? And, you know, you get the fourth one.
A tricycle.
Get her an electric bike.
Something. Something. The girl deserves something.
The Burt Show. Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
In news that will come as a shock to absolutely no one, Meghan Markle will not be attending the coronation of King Charles. The palace just put out an announcement that Prince Harry, of course, is going to be there to support his father. But what I was surprised about is that obviously Meghan Markle's not going to be there, but neither are their children, Prince Archie and Princess Lilibet. They are going to be staying behind with their mom in California.
Yeah, because the family probably thinks that if the kids are there, then the royal family is going to get in their young little ears. So they're probably thinking, let's just avoid this altogether.
Oh, so you think this is a decision that Meghan Markle and Prince Harry made?
Yeah, I do.
Interesting.
I would agree.
I think. I'm not sure. Cassie has more insight into that.
Well, there's no confirmation that they were even invited, the prince and princess, Lilibet and Archie. So it may be that they weren't invited. It may be that Meghan is deciding to keep them out of the, and Harry deciding to keep them out of the spotlight because the UK press is so awful toward them. And it might also be there is some rumors going around, and I'm not sure, but there were three requests made by Harry and Meghan to the palace for the coronation that were denied. I don't know what they are, but that might have something to do with it too.
I'm curious here, 1-855-BIRD-SHOW, do you have a family where either your husband or you or whomever doesn't get along with the in-laws and the family so much that they go to all the family events, but you never attend with them? So, like, the husband might take the kids to go see his family, but you have so much tension with his family that they don't like you, you don't like them, so you just never all hang out together. 1-855-BIRD-SHOW.
That would be crazy to me because I've had some family drama in my past, and my parents have always sucked it up, no matter what's going on with the in-laws or their brothers and sisters.
I think that's the right thing to do.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I'm sure that there are families that are like, look, we don't want to see her, right? And she doesn't want to see us, so we're going to have Thanksgiving. You and the kids, of course, are invited, but she's not invited in the house. And she's like, I don't even want to go. This is great.
Anyway.
This is fantastic. I'll watch Beef on Netflix.
You know, they may have done it out of deference to King Charles, because Prince Harry not being there would be a big slap in the face. Like, not attending your own father's coronation is a huge deal. But if Meghan went, then it's going to be a UK media circus, and then they'll be criticized from drawing attention away from King Charles's big day because of the circus around them. So they may have chosen to have Meghan stay home with the kids in order to honor King Charles and let him have his day and not be accused of trying to detract from it.
Like, look at all the phone lines lit up with people that are blowing like, I hate his family, and everybody's okay with me not being around. Good morning, Jenna. You are on the Burt Show. Hi.
Hi. I just wanted to say my in-laws are very toxic. I don't like the way they speak to their children, so I know if they spoke to my child like that, which they wouldn't hesitate to, it would be a problem. So my husband and I made the decision that he goes to all the holiday stuff, the family stuff, and my daughter and I stay home.
So you guys don't attend any of the family stuff at all. And his side of the family, none. Do they have any resentment that you never bring the kids around or you're not there or they don't like you equally?
It's a little bit of both. They know why, and I've definitely told them why we're cutting them off, essentially. So they know, they're aware, and they do have resentment, but it's not my problem.
I mean, we could do this for the next 3 hours. Good morning, Sarah. You're part of the Burt Show. Hi. Hello.
Hello?
Yes, you're starting off as a very bad caller.
Sorry. Oh, my gosh. Can you hear me better now?
Yep.
Yep.
Hey. So about like a year ago, when me and my husband first got engaged, I think COVID had something to do with it. But there was a point where I would go, like, he would go to see his family. They live all down in Savannah, and I would not go. We just all did not get along. There was a lot of tension, I think, because of COVID and politics.
Yeah.
But it's all gotten better now, thankfully. But, yeah, there was a point where, like, they would call or they would be in town, and I was like, it was like a plague. It was like they had COVID, too. I was like, nope, I'm staying away.
I get it. Sarah, you rebounded well. Thank you very much for calling.
Good recovery.
It was a good recovery. Stephanie, good morning. You're part of the Burt Show. Hi.
Good morning. So I have a sister-in-law who just does not come around. Her and my brother, they were high school sweethearts. You know, they've been married like 12 years now. They have a couple kids. My brother still brings the kids over on a pretty regular basis, and they still come to family functions. But it's been 3 or 4 years since I've seen her.
Yeah, I think this probably happens quite a bit here, Amber, that everybody is just really kind of okay with not seeing each other. So the family moves in different directions and you just don't all celebrate together because you know it's going to be tense.
If it's better for their relationship, I guess we've all kind of supported him. But I mean, yeah, we still kind of make jokes. It's like, oh, single dad again. Hi, to where's your what? We get it. Everybody has in-laws. We don't always get along. But, yeah.
Appreciate you calling. Thank you. Yeah. We, like I said, we could do that for hours.
I see.
It's the I Hate My In-Laws show.
Yeah, could be.
John Mayer made some shady comments about the song he allegedly wrote about Taylor Swift. I'm going to have some fighting words for him coming up in your next Entertainment Buzz on The Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
All right, we call Thursdays follow-up Thursdays. You guys email us with things you remember that we've done on the show we just don't have closure on. And in this case, it was a coworker giving her like some really special treatment, but she was pregnant. So she wasn't really sure if the dude was just being nice because she was pregnant or not. And you guys wanted a follow-up. This is from Liz Martin, who says, hey, from a long-time listener, last April, there was a caller who was pregnant and getting special treatment from a male coworker, massages and snacks, while another prego coworker was getting the shaft. She wasn't sure if he had feelings for her or he was just pitying her. Curious if they ever started dating and whatever has happened. Thanks so much from Liz.
Yeah, Bethany was 18 weeks pregnant at the time. She reached out to us, which was almost exactly a year ago. Her coworker started catering to her after she announced her pregnancy. He'd get her snacks, give her shoulder rubs, etc. She thought he was crushing on her, and she wanted to know his intentions. We all told her that she should focus on the pregnancy and let it ride out, but she decided to be what we call an ask-hole and decided to shoot her shot. An ask-hole is where you ask for our advice and ignore it and do what you want anyway. She gave us two options. One, ask him out to dinner, or two, ask him out for drinks. We all agreed asking him out for drinks was the funnier route to pick since she's pregnant. She did. He accepted. It went so well that he took her out for dinner afterward, and the two talked for hours. They had such a great time together, he asked her to go out again, and she was hopeful that things would take off. So did they start officially dating or not?
So before we even get into the email update, I've had two friends that target single pregnant women. Huge turn on for them. Huge turn on. Pregnant women, huge turn on. They loved asking them out. They loved getting physical with them. Just a huge turn on. Two.
What's the reason?
Why?
This?
Yeah.
Just their thing.
Feels a little.
Just their thing.
A little skeezy, okay. No?
Gross.
It does.
Now, again, this can get us into the conversation of, you know, what is the difference between a fetish and an attraction?
Right.
All right.
But the other thing is, if they're pregnant, I'm assuming at some point in the last 9 months, there was somebody in their life.
Yeah.
If I see a pregnant person, I usually assume that they have a partner with them.
But if they don't and they are single, and I've known plenty of women that date while they're pregnant, right? We've taken a lot of these emails. When do I tell them that I'm pregnant? I'm really not showing just yet. And they're still dating. It would be off limits for me.
I would have to hear the justification for doing it because I don't understand it. I don't even think I would have the heart to go up and talk to a pregnant woman because, like Abby said, I would assume that she has someone in her life.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So the email update here.
Thanks for reaching out and checking in on me. I can't believe it's almost been a year since I sent those emails to you. Life has been quite an exhausting roller coaster since then, but I'm doing well now. I had my baby boy last year, and he just turned 7 months old. Being a new mom has definitely had its challenges. But it's also been the most amazing experience. I never knew it was possible to love another human like this. Of course, the update you likely want to know most about is my coworker and me. So I'll give you the update on that as well. First, I'll say he's way more than just a coworker now. We actually started dating after our quote-unquote drinks date and have been together ever since.
Mm.
It's been almost a year now.
Damn.
Things are going really well between us.
Yay!
How about that?
We've had some challenges to navigate, of course, given my pregnancy and now being a new mom, but we've been able to work through them together. He has been amazing throughout the whole process. He's been so supportive and understanding. He's been a great partner and father figure to my son. It hasn't always been easy, but we've been able to make it work, create a little family of our own. As for work, things have been going well, too. Thankfully, my job has been supportive of both my new role as a mom and also my relationship with a coworker. Overall, life is challenging, but good. Being a mom has taught me so much about myself and what I'm capable of, and I'm grateful for every moment. Thanks again for checking in on me, and I hope you are doing well, too.
Aww.
Best, Bethany.
Okay, I love that this worked out for them. I really, really do. As you're reading this email, I'm trying to figure out in my head, like, what is it about, like, dating a pregnant woman that would keep it off limits for me? One is real and emotional and mature, and the other one is very superficial. All right, number one, it's going to get so complicated, right? You're going to have this baby. Focus is going to be on baby. Then I got to deal with baby daddy and those issues going up. I don't even barely know you yet, right? And here I am diving into this. But if I'm really into you, I guess I would be, like, willing to do all that, right? The second part and the more superficial part for me, it just, for me, would feel icky to get physical knowing somebody else's baby is in there.
Yeah. I don't think that's superficial at all.
It would feel the same for me. I couldn't do it.
Afraid a little hand's going to grab your dingle dangle.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
The way I'm built, it would have to have really long arms. But it just feels like.
It's weird.
I don't know.
Does my dad know about this?
It just feels kind of strange. Like, if it's my wife or that's my baby in there, no problem
it's
at
fine.
All. But.
Because it's another man's baby?
Yeah, yes. There's a renter in there.
What about the woman? It's her baby. She's the one building it. It's build a baby in her body.
I get it, but just the fact that I wouldn't be able to explain it. I'm just telling you how I'm feeling.
Wait, so I think I might be understanding this incorrectly, so I want some clarification. So because...
No, you probably have it crystal clear.
I'm going to go ahead and pretend I'm doing... So because another man has laid claim to the area and has DNA growing inside that, it's another... So the other man has more of an impact on you hooking up with the pregnant woman than the actual pregnant woman who is growing the baby.
It's not that she had somebody that she was with physically before me. That doesn't bother me at all. It's that the baby is in there.
And it's not yours.
And it's not mine. And it just feels like...
Just poking the baby in the head.
No trespassing. Is what it feels like to me.
But why?
I don't know.
It feels icky.
How do you explain it?
Yeah, I don't know how to explain it either, but I know exactly like how you would feel. I wouldn't be able to like get that out of my mind.
that the baby is there.
Oh, I get the baby part. So I can understand the perspective of, like, there's a baby there.
If it's my baby, we're good.
That's what I don't understand. Why does it make a difference whose baby it is? It's still the woman's baby at the end of the day as well.
I don't know.
That's just not my baby. Yeah. I ain't got no business
in
it.
Imagine having beef with a baby before it even enters the world. You already got problems with this
If kid. I was the baby, I would have beef with the guy.
Yes, you're
you ain't my
like,
daddy.
That's
get out of here.
That's not my baby daddy. I can almost hear it in my head. Yes. That's not my baby daddy.
Hey, The Burt Show.
All right, Abby, you know how I feel about ghosting.
You know how I feel about ghosting.
So how can this be a question if you ghosted somebody or not?
You either do
or you don't.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like there could be some gray area. And I want to raise the question that there might be some scenarios where ghosting could be okay. So there's something going on in my life. And actually, yesterday I found out that there's something going on in my friend's life where we think there might be some scenarios where just cutting somebody off cold turkey might be okay. So, you know, the guy that I did like the first date review with a while back where I went on the date, got him a little tipsy, mm-hmm. had him give me a review on how my date went. Well, I decided to go out on a second date with him and just give him another chance just to kind of feel him out.
I'm shocked he decided that he was going to go back out. Did he know you did that?
I told him that it might be a possibility.
Okay.
But I didn't send him the link or anything. I wasn't like, hey, do you like how this sounded?
Right.
So we ended up going on a second date, and it kind of just confirmed that this just wasn't the right relationship for me. Nothing really bad about it. Just, I don't know, just didn't really feel like we gelled.
Like he was more into Romeo than you.
Honestly, yeah. I was like, I can give you Romeo's digits. And he sent me a text after the date ended, and he said, hey, had a great time with you. Let me know if you want to do anything when you get back from Jacksonville. And I said, thanks, had an awesome time. Drinks were great. Basically just ended it there and had no plans on texting this man back again because I just didn't want to go on a second date with him. So I felt like there was really nothing left to say. And so in my mind, I'm like, am I an a-hole? Am I ghosting this guy for not giving him a reason for why I want to go on the second date?
I actually wouldn't consider that ghosting.
You don't think so?
Okay,
no.
Run that one by me again. So you
went on a second date with him, and he said, had a great time, would love to go out again.
Yep.
Let me know. And I said,
you did not get back to him.
And I said, thank you. Drinks were great. Ended it there.
See, to me, that's like a reading between the lines, bro. Mm-hmm. At least you gave him context clues because you said, if you want to do it again, let me know. And you didn't let him know you wanted to do it again. You just said it was cool.
Yeah.
That to me, as a guy, you can walk away saying, yeah, she's not into it.
I understand what your question is now. I understand why. Is this ghosting or not? Because I didn't give him a definitive, there's not going to be another date. But it certainly was loudly suggested.
Yes. And I don't know, like, at what point do you have to break up with someone and give them, like, a PowerPoint presentation as to why? Because that's one of the hardest things I find about dating is that you're kind of trying out all these different people.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it's nothing personal. It's not that I think he's an unattractive or bad guy.
Right.
I just don't think we're going to be in a serious relationship. And that's really hard to express. So I just thought it's easier for both of us if I just deuce out.
Read exactly what you said again, because I want to take this from his perspective just to make sure.
Let me pull up
that it
seats.
Would be crystal clear, because for me it would be.
It would be too. See, a lot of guys though they can't read between the lines,
right.
And they don't take the clues.
And I'm so afraid of rejection anyway that if I didn't get an enthusiastic text back, there would be no. And reading that for me and my insecurity, that's it.
That's
man.
It.
I hear exactly what you're saying,
loud and clear.
Had fun with you tonight. Let me know when you get back from Jax. Would love to hang out again if you want to, .. And I said, I waited literally 24 hours to respond. I said, sorry for the late reply. Been bopping around all day. Had an awesome time. Thank you again for dinner and drinks.
Okay, I only think you made one minor mistake, and it's not even like a major at all.
Okay.
Apologizing for your schedule.
Okay.
Gives him hope.
Okay.
That's true.
Okay. Mm-hmm. If you would have waited 24 hours and then text him without apologizing, for me, that would have spoke volumes. If I don't hear back from you in 24 hours saying that I can't wait to see you again and it takes you 24 hours to get back to me, I already know the answer.
Okay.
I feel the same way. Like you, I mean, I still would have felt like I get it.
And I would have read that as you're being polite, but you're not interested. And that would have been more than enough for me. But I do think for most guys, the sorry, they would have read that as like, oh she cares.
Mm.
You see? Yeah. Even though you were just being polite.
Now, if you were interested in another date, then an apology like, oh, so sorry I didn't get back to you because I've been blah, 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 blah. But definitely, then that's cool.
Yeah. That's why communicating is so hard. Like earlier in the show when we were like, do we respond to your ex if they come swooping in? Do you say anything? That's why it's so much easier just to not say anything because I apologize because I'm a nice person. And now he thinks that I want to plan our third, fourth, and fifth date.
No, right. I don't think he does. He should get it, but it's not ghosting.
No, because it was a closed statement. Like that, I can appreciate that. I think if you were interested, it would have been a little more open. Like, okay, I'll definitely let you know, or, you know, I look forward to the next time. You just saying, it was great, thanks. You should know.
All right, Mike here says, yup, is ghosting. Hey, Mike, good morning. You're on the Burt Show.
Hey, guys. Yeah, I would think it's ghosting because, let's face it, men are stupid and we don't pick up on hints very well. Because when he said, you know, I had a great time, I'd love to go out again, and she said that, yeah, drinks were great. To me, that's leaving it on a positive note. And so the guy's thinking, oh, okay, it went well. I'm waiting to hear back again. So, yeah, I think, you know, just a quick, you know, yeah, drinks were great, but I just don't feel the chemistry. You know, good luck in life.
I think it's an interesting point that you make, but women shouldn't have to, because he initially said, yeah, it's ghosting because men are stupid. That's not a woman's fault.
No, that's right. The stupid men.
Yeah, that's a
and
stupid
it ain't all
man.
Of us. Yes.
That's not on you.
No.
I guess it is because I said yes to the date. And when he said, oh, you left it on a positive note, it was great. Drinks were great.
Right,
I drinks. Just don't want to see you again.
Nah, I think you're done at this point.
Good.
Yeah, unless he follows up again, I think you're done.
We're done.
It's the Burt Show.
Hey, the Burt Show.
I am starting to realize how incredibly passionate Swifties are. So, as we all know, Taylor Swift is coming to Atlanta, and I have received a bunch of DMs from people that are like, Burt Show, we must honor Taylor. It's me. All right, let me use this also as one last time here to look, if you're still trying to get your hands on Taylor Swift tickets, we've got 4 floor level suite tickets for you guys.
Woo-hoo!
For $100. That is it. Now, this is a raffle for Burt's Big Adventure. So if you want in on it, you have to go to the website now, and then we'll make a drawing on the 19th, and 5 of you guys are going to win this. So you got a pretty good chance. So do it at theburtshow.com or burtsbigadventure.org. All right, this is the only artist I know of, I can think of, that fans are so passionate about that when this artist comes to the city, in each and every city she goes to, the city is honoring their presence.
It's a Taylor takeover. And the coolest part about this entire thing is like every city has been trying to one up the other. So it started with Glendale. This was her opening night. And they're like, you know what? We're going to rename this city to Swift City. And then after that, Las Vegas was like, well, you're going to rename the name. We're going to give her a whole arch. And now she's coming to Tampa this week. And the mayor of Tampa has decided, you know what, Taylor, you can be the mayor for the day. And we're going to give you the keys to the city.
Wow. So every city is like upping their game and honoring Taylor as she comes into town. Right? So I've been starting to get these also. And I didn't even know what it was about, really, up until yesterday. So this one's from Kristen Buffington. It says, I know one of y'all have a connection to the mayor or someone who can take suggestions for what we should do to honor Taylor during her weekend in Atlanta. Honor Taylor on her weekend like she's royalty.
Bow down to the queen, baby.
She says, I have the best idea. We gotta one up everyone else. So as you were just saying, I guess this is happening all over the country. So I just send the emoji like, like, not really sure even what it meant at the time, right? I just thought it was, well, like, one crazy fan. And it turns out there are thousands of crazy fans that want to do this.
No, I've been wondering what Atlanta's going to do because, again, everyone's trying to one-up each other. So Atlanta, like, we got to show out. What can we do to make sure Taylor Swift feels honored when she comes here?
So she continues on. She didn't like my emoji because she didn't think I was taking it seriously. And she writes, come on, help out a P1. Now, that's important. You get special privileges if you're a P1. She said, I know Abby would be on board. If you're a new listener, Abby is our new co-host. That is a crazy Swiftie. It says, in honor of her iconic...
All caps.
Bridges, what she's famous for in the fandom. What is that?
So, like, the bridge of a song. So she's known for having really cathartic bridges that you just want to, like, scream your lungs out to. If you've ever seen me out and about driving around and I have, like, tears in my eyes and my face is red, it's a Taylor Swift bridge.
Okay. All right. We need to rename the famous Jackson Street Bridge to Swift Street Bridge for the weekend. All right, so Jackson Street Bridge is a iconic bridge just outside of Atlanta that a lot of tourists, it's such a beautiful downtown view that a lot of people will take pictures from this bridge. I think it was also like in an iconic scene in The Walking Dead also, where people that watch the show will know it, but it's kind of like in a pop apocalyptic view of Atlanta. And that's why it's so popular. So what she's suggesting is we rename that bridge for Taylor Swift.
I really like that idea, but then you also apparently have to rename the street from Jackson Street to Swift Street. So it's a street and a bridge.
She says this will bring tons of fans in the city to take pics with to generate even more revenue for the city. Add a sign that says it's somewhere on the bridge. Fans would be feral, which I didn't even know what that meant.
I have no idea what that
means. It's like a wild animal. Like an animal going wild, like...
So they go nuts!
Yes.
Okay.
Got it.
Then we need to be named Taylanta for the weekend.
Oh, the bridge now, wasn't enough. Okay.
I like Taylanta better than the bridge.
I like Taylanta. No, I like both. Why not? Why stop at one thing when we could have both?
Oh, she's not done.
Oh, there's
yeah,
more.
Yeah, and she wants a key to the city for Taylor also.
What does that even mean, the key to the city?
See, I think a key to the city should, like, give you a key that, or you can get into anywhere you want.
Oh, yeah.
24/7.
Yeah.
Here's the one master key to the entire city. I don't really think it works like that.
The key opens nothing.
Nothing.
Well, nothing at all.
It's just ceremonial.
It's from history. So, like, the gates of a city used to be guarded day and night. So if you were given the key to the city, it means you were so trusted that you could enter and exit the city whenever you wanted.
Okay.
Yeah, that's not going to happen here. But it is legitimately the only artist I have ever gotten this many requests for saying, what is Atlanta gonna do to honor the artist that is gracing us with her songs for a couple of nights?
We're just thrilled she's coming here.
You know, I know the Atlanta City Council president. We could hit him up and see if there's anything that the Atlanta, it's not the mayor, but anything that the Atlanta City Council could do in order to honor Taylor Swift.
I'm assuming that people in, like, local government have no idea this is going on.
Oh, no, he has two young daughters.
Okay, so maybe he
so
does.
I don't know if, I think they're right in the wheelhouse of Taylor Swift age, like liking Taylor. Perhaps. I'm just saying, I could float something. He might be a little busy, you know, running his, like, businesses and his companies in the city, but maybe we could hit him up.
Okay, now, I think that this would be a project that you, Abby, should spearhead as, like, the crazy Taylor Swift fan.
I'll be on the front lines. And okay, if we can't make anything happen for Atlanta, I will make Bert rename the show the Swifty Show for the whole week that she's going to be here.
That's not bad.
You got to get the sign and the whole deal. Yeah, you spearhead it because I find the whole thing a little bit absurd.
What?
It's a little absurd.
It's a lot of absurd.
What other artist would you ever... Beyonce's been here.
Yeah, nobody cares.
We have said, hey, how are we going to honor Beyonce before we give her $100 to see her on stage? How else can we honor her?
You offer Beyonce nothing.
You thought people were only paying $100 to see Beyonce?
Right.
If this was a football team or a quarterback, y'all would be like, hell yeah, makes sense.
No,
absolutely.
I would not. I absolutely would not.
You would pay thousands of dollars to go see them play in, like, the Super Bowl
if
or whatever.
If the Buccaneers were coming into Atlanta when Tom Brady was playing, obviously the GOAT, I would not be going, hey, you guys, how is our city going to honor Tom Brady for him playing in our stadium and me paying him to be in there? Then I also want to honor him a different way.
Rename the Beltline the Brady Line. No one ever said that.
Then I guess you're not a real fan.
But you guys are. So I am open to it. If you guys have suggestions, send them all to Abby.
Woo! And if you can't do it for Taylor Swift, do it for Atlanta, because it's going to be so embarrassing if everybody goes all out. I mean, Tampa, for crying out loud.
Right.
We got to do something better than Tampa. Right. We got to beat Tampa. So send me all those suggestions to my DMs, and we will make something happen.
You can also email her also, Abby@thebirdshow.com.
But be nice.
Hey, The Bird Show.